Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we take a look at all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East, including Benghazi, with Jill Derby, the former Nevada Democratic Party chair and a cultural anthropologist. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
To state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome Jill Derby back to the program. She is the former Nevada Democratic Party chair and a cultural anthropologist. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Sam. It's good to be here.
Last week, as we were taping this in advance, the New York Times led with a story saying Benghazi attack called avoidable in Senate report. And this goes directly against the reporting of the New York Times that did a major piece a couple of Sundays ago on the whole Benghazi situation. What are your thoughts on this? Because this was a bipartisan Senate committee.
I know it was. It's interesting how Benghazi has taken on, has just, the story won't quit about what happened there. And, you know, you've got two different reports. I mean, the New York Times, very credible sort of source. They did a lot of journalistic work on this. And now we've got a report that says, no, but they're not targeting Hillary Clinton, which always seemed to be the political force behind the movement that wanted to assess blame, but in fact somebody that worked for her.
And do you think that that is the basis of this being an ongoing controversy?
Well, I felt it is. I mean, look at other things that have happened around the world that could achieve that kind of focus and that have happened before and since. I've always felt that it was.
And the other thing, too, is that diplomacy has changed dramatically since 9/11 and maybe even prior to that, where before our diplomats would go to various places in the world and they would go out and mix with the local population, the diplomatic population, and get to know the people on a personal basis and would avoid situations that would crop up. Now we're walling everybody behind the embassy walls and the consulate walls. And I don't think that that's good for democracy, even though it is dangerous.
I know, it is. And, you know, he was such a wonderful example of somebody who reached out to the people. I mean, he knew that part of the world. He spoke Arabic. Arabic. He was just a wonderful example of an ambassador and a diplomat, and it was just such, it was a huge loss to lose him, and I think that's heightened it too. But I've always felt that what is behind the ongoing narrative, two sides of the narrative, is really politics.
And you know, the other thing that was interesting was when John Huntsman was ambassador to China, he would ride his bike to work every day.
I know.
I don't think that those days are coming back.
It's a different world, and really, speaking of Libya, what a mess. There's just anarchy going on in Libya, which I've been reading more about what's going on in Libya recently, and it's very anarchic. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and isn't this the sad tale of what happens when outside powers take over a region? And we're going back to the early 1900s and the British and the French that created these countries that really didn't exist in the form that they exist now. And so when they lose a strong man, even though we don't necessarily like or support that strong man, but all of the old tribal cultures and wars suddenly pop up again, and you're left with nothing. You're left with Somalia.
The legacy of colonialism. And it's interesting that even though it's been, what, decades, 50, 60, 70, 80 years since the colonial powers walked away, there's still a legacy that exists. And we see that, we're seeing that. We see that in Iraq, we see that in Syria, and a whole number of places.
And as we look at Iraq, your thoughts on where we are right now, it for anybody that had a family member serve in Iraq, maybe injured or killed, and they look at what's happening there today, they've just got to be stunned.
Well, let me say this, and you hear this from every expert that looks at that situation. The problem is Maliki and his choice not to be inclusionary. And actually, he was chosen. I've talked to the Kurdish leader who was part of that negotiation about who shall we have lead in Iraq. Maliki was chosen because he was weak, and they thought that he would try to bring everybody together under the tent. He has consistently failed to do that. And the Secretary of the UN, Ki Moon, was just in Iraq talking to him. One more person saying, listen, you've got to bring the Sunnis in. He has consistently arrested their leaders, harassed them, failed to address problems in Anbar and the provinces that are Sunni strongholds. Robert Gates, in his recent book, brings that out and says, way back when, 2005, 6, 7, on forward, everybody was pressing Maliki and saying, look, you've got to reach out to the Sunnis, you've got to bring them into this government. Absolutely refuses to do that.
What is the lesson of Iraq then, if we see this devolve, and it still appears that we're on track to split into three different countries there? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that? And B, what's the lesson we learn from it?
Well, let me say that I don't think it will devolve to three different countries, but I think you could have a kind of federation or a confederation, whatever you want to call it, along the model, well, we do states and we do federal government, right? Something like that. You know, in the north, the Kurds, where I'm active, involved with the American University there, they're autonomous in that they have their own government. It, semi-autonomous is the word, and they're still connected to the federal government of Iraq. Now, there's a lot of tension going on there, but you could have that, and you could have that in Syria as well, so that you maintain a central government, but a lot of power devolves to the federation or whatever you want to call it in Iraq. I think that could work in the end, unless Maliki changes tune. And of course, we don't have much ability to pressure him now.
Okay, and Kurdistan, is that ever going to become a reality, do you think, in our lifetime? Or do you think that as you said earlier, that it's going to have to be separate regions but one country?
Well, I don't think in our lifetime it will become a separate country. And it's interesting, the Kurds are split on this. Some Kurds want their country of their own. Others, like the Kurds in northern Iraq, are pretty satisfied with the way it's going. They're semi-autonomous. They've got their own government. They have a prime minister and a parliament. They run their own affairs. They've even started being economically independent by selling oil to Turkey, which is very unpopular with the Iraqi central government. But the central government, which has other problems on its hands, isn't going to contest that right now. So they feel like to try to take on a country status, and all that that implies is not something they want. They have a good thing going right now. Now, Iran would not want their Kurds to be separate. Turkey doesn't want their Kurds to be separate. Syria, who knows what's going to happen. Their Kurds are seeking the kind of semi-autonomous arrangement that the Iraqi Kurds have. So we'll see. I mean, they always wanted that. They were sold down the river after World War I, after being promised that they would have their own separate country. But I think they're looking now for the model that goes on in northern Iraq, which is a kind of semi-autonomous status. Let us run our own affairs, have our own government, and we'll work with you and with a central government.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jill Derby when we come back.
To contact Nevada newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to nevadanewsmakers.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with cultural anthropologist Jill Derby. We're talking about Syria. Yeah. And who would have thought a year ago that we'd be talking about Assad, or at least Assad's government, still being in power at this point in time. But the opposition is just crazy.
Yeah, and it's so divided. And it really, the presence of Al-Qaeda coming in force is really, most of those opposition fighters aren't going with the Al-Qaeda theme of, their brutality and their strict justice and their fundamentalism and so on and so forth. So what a shame. I mean, it's not unexpected, but with Al-Qaeda coming in force, they're divided, although it looks like there are some efforts to pull things together enough so that they can continue their legitimate struggle. It's a sad thing, but we'll see what happens with the upcoming talks that are going to go on.
And will the people who are in opposition going to the peace talks actually be able to speak for the opposition?
No, that's what's very complicated. It's just really fallen apart. And some would criticize our government that we didn't get more involved early on, support that opposition to keep some cohesiveness there. But the truth is that most Muslims will not support the Al-Qaeda agenda at all, and okay, not support that fundamentalism. And once they got in the game, all bets are off.
But here's the real question I have, which is Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan doesn't exist.
No.
I mean, it's maybe a handful of people.
Yeah.
That organization is broken. We have all these other people picking up the name Al-Qaeda.
Right.
And then it's used in the American media and paints a picture for the average person who doesn't delve into this. But it's really not Al-Qaeda.
No, no, no. I mean, there's no monolith. People have just adopted that for their own struggle in whatever region they're in. I mean, you see it down in Mali and North Africa as well. It's the same sort of thing. There's no one organization and one structure. But, you know, people are adopting that because it has certain cachet for the media and gives them, you know, a sense of power and what they're struggling for.
You were mentioning to me before we started on the program about a new movie called The Square that's going to be coming out on Netflix here pretty quickly. And it's based on the story of Egypt.
Yes.
It's interesting to watch what's happening in Egypt as the military, which I've always felt has been in control since the days of NASA in the 1950s, all the way through. You had presidents, but they weren't really presidents. And when they had the opportunity to have a democratically elected president, it wasn't the one they wanted. And so the military was not going to back him. And now that man is in jail, President Morsi, and Lord knows what's going to happen to him. Do you think we're going to end up with the political leader in Egypt being the general, and isn't that good for the United States and Israel?
Well, let me say this. I want to give a shout out to this movie that is shortlisted for an Oscar, as a matter of fact, called The Square. She's an Egyptian-American filmmaker, and she was there the whole time, and it includes the whole period from the beginning of that revolution, clear to the last protests last June that brought the military back into power. And the narrative she talks about is just really gripping, where most of us would feel like, where are the Egyptians? Back to square one. They're back where they started. They had a military dictatorship. They threw that out. Then they got a fundamentalist Islamic dictatorship, and they got out in the streets and threw that out. Now they're back to a military dictatorship. So what's been accomplished? But she makes a very powerful case about consciousness has changed in Egypt. The sense that you can hold a government accountable. And the people were behind getting rid of Morsi, who assumed dictatorial powers. So anyway, it's a very interesting and more nuanced kind of understanding of what's gone on in Egypt, and they're thrilled that it's shortlisted for an Oscar. It's playing in theaters around, but it's going to be on Netflix starting January 17th, and it's called The Square. So let me say that first. Is it good for, well, here's the thing that they will bring is a certain stability. We've always had a very strong relationship with the Egyptian military.
Part of the economic fabric of the country. It's not just a military as it is in this country.
No.
They are in so many different kinds of businesses.
Yeah. 40% of the businesses in Egypt or something are owned by the military. What's going to be interesting to see is some feel that this constitution that just got accepted, because by the way, you couldn't lobby against it. You couldn't put up posters that said vote no. I mean, we're back to a military dictatorship here again.
But it was interesting to hear the Egyptian people who were interviewed that certainly played on the radio in this country. It was like, yes, let's vote for this, let's vote for this, let's get it done. They were excited to move forward because the country, obviously, tourism has been decimated, and that's main source of income.
Yeah.
And so I think that they're looking for, you know, there's a certain point where people want some kind of regimentation in their life, and if they don't get it from a normal government, then maybe a military government is better.
Well, we'll see. I think you know, that's chapter two. There was one, the revolution, chapter two, chapter three. I think the story's not done yet, and I think this film lays that out, that there's a big shift in the way the Egyptians view themselves in relation to their government. They know they can get out in the streets and make it change. If the military, which right now is operating as a dictatorship and are violating human rights, and so I think if that continues, the people will get back in the streets and it'll mitigate the situation. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because people have changed their thinking about whether or not they have a say in how their government operates in Egypt.
And it's also interesting, when you have a country that's in so much poverty, as Egypt is, with 80 million people in that country, and the majority of them not having work, they have the ability to go out in the streets, whereas in the United States, when we're upset about something, we ain't in the streets.
Yeah.
Let's take a break more when we come back with Jill Derby.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When kids are hungry, they're not thinking about math. They're thinking about food. That's why school breakfast and lunch programs like this one, funded by Barrick Gold, are so important. We have several students that they don't eat at home. They don't have food. These are the only meals that they'll eat today. But at least while they're here at school, they don't have to worry about being hungry. They can concentrate on learning. That makes a big difference. Huge difference.
Why Marshall Realty?
Experience, results, and compassion is why we are number one. You get the most experienced team that is passionate about your results. Bottom line, we do truly care. Call me today and find out exactly why.
When you are late on your payments, your bills can multiply. That's when you need CashCo. It's easy to get the cash you need at CashCo. There are no credit checks and no year-long contract. You can even apply by phone. All you have to do is write us a check and we'll hold it till payday. It's that simple. And with our quick approval process, you can get your money in as little as 15 minutes. So don't wait. When you think cash, think CashCo. With two Northern Nevada locations to serve you.
Sparks Tile and Stone has a huge selection of natural stone, granite, ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and decorative tile. We're located in Sparks at 935 South Rock Boulevard. Our experienced staff is here to help you choose the right styles and colors in our design center. Let Cindy and the staff at Sparks Tile and Stone help you with your next remodeling project.
Come see us at Sparks Tile and Stone for all your tile, granite, and natural stone needs.
Why short sale now?
The Tax Forgiveness Act is the biggest benefit for homeowners ever. The Fresh Start program allows homeowners to buy a home after 1 year, and I will personally guarantee you full debt release or you never short sale, period.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. She's a cultural anthropologist. In continuing our conversation about Egypt, you were saying in the break that the Muslim Brotherhood should not have been blown out the way they've been blown out.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake on the part of the generals to outlaw them. Because I think when you do that, you drive people underground, you radicalize them. The other thing that's a concern is the Muslim Brotherhood for years, decades and decades in Egypt, after they renounced violence, has established all these health clinics. They provide so many social services that the government doesn't to people in terms of education and health care and food distribution and so forth. If that should dry up, I think that's a serious problem for people in Egypt, and there are so many that are very poor.
Well, let me give you the devil's advocate position, because Hamas in Gaza had done exactly the same thing, and yet when they were given the opportunity to be drawn into the mainstream and be a part of a peace solution, it never happened.
Well, look what Morsi did. I mean, by claiming dictatorial powers, he blew the whole thing. That was their first democratically elected government in how many thousands of years in Egypt, and he blew the whole thing by assuming those sort of powers and lost it.
We've got about 2.5 minutes left here, and I wanted to talk about somebody who was very special to you and myself and a lot of other people in Northern Nevada, but she had ramifications not only in this country but across Egypt, and that was Dee Gamal Eldin, who passed away at age 79 just a few weeks ago. Explain for the people that never met her who she was and what she accomplished.
Well, you know, Dee was such an interesting person who married a very prominent Egyptian who was second in command, really, or very close to Anwar Sadat. And then they married. She converted to Islam. After Sanaa was assassinated, her husband felt in some danger himself, so they came here. They were in Texas and then ultimately came to Reno. But Dee was a wonderful sort of cultural bridge for people, because very American, an Oklahoma girl. She had been a health executive, as a matter of fact, before she married her husband. But she was such a bridge in that she invited so many people to her home in Cairo. Cairo. She was very well connected in Cairo. Madame Sadat was one of her very good friends. And I know in the couple of times...
As was Suzanne Mubarak.
Suzanne Mubarak. And when I visited Dee, I know, you know, she introduced me to some of the generals that were part of the team under Sadat and later Mubarak and so on and so forth. She's very well connected. She had a lovely apartment over there, and then
overlooking the Nile,
and she invited so many Nevadans who traveled to that region to visit her, and then she was a wonderful host and showed people around. So she just was a wonderful bridge between those two cultures.
And one of the things I'll never forget is sitting on her balcony, as we say, overlooking the Nile, looking at the pyramids in the distance, and her talking about the real story behind all the other governments, like the Saudis and others. I mean, she had no shortage of opinions, which she would never reveal publicly, but had no problems revealing privately.
Yes. You know, it's so interesting getting the inside story. You know that I work over in Kurdistan with the American University, and the chair of our board was the former prime minister in Kurdistan, and it sort of was on the inside of when Maliki was selected and so on and so forth. It's always interesting getting the inside story, because we hear something brief from our own media that is some official perception, and then you talk to people who know, who've talked to the insiders, and it's always interesting. And Dee was an insider over in Cairo,
to say the least. And we spent, she had invited my family to come and visit with her for 20 years if we were going to be in the neighborhood, and we were going to Israel. And so we were in the neighborhood, and I called her in Cairo, and we spoke for about 45 minutes, and I said, put together the itinerary, and we had the most incredible whirlwind week that anybody could ever spend. A great lady, Dee Gamal Eldin, and she will be missed.
Yes, she will be missed. She was a great hostess and a great woman, and she had a very generous heart, and we'll all miss her.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Jill Thanks, Derby. Sam.
We'll be right back on the Better Newsmakers after this timeout.
Double Down Days are back at Internet Auto Rent and Sale. Bring your tax refund down payment or trade into Internet, and we will match it with a discount up to $2,000. With hundreds of vehicles to choose from, there is only one place to shop for your next vehicle. Double Down Days at Internet Auto Rent and Sale.
It's Champion's 26th annual Kickoff 2014 sale. We're number one in GM sales again for the 25th straight year. Come see all the new and exciting 2014 Chevy cars and trucks. 500 new Chevys are on sale, like a 2014 Chevy Cruze LS 17488. And see Champion's number one business elite center for all your business needs, including vans, pickups, and diesel. The 26th annual Kickoff 2014 sale, only at Champion Chevrolet.
Come to the 10th annual Hunter and Outfitter Convention at the Grand Sierra in Reno. See exhibits, attend for your chance to win an AR-15 every day, and a big game hunt every night. Meet TV celebrity hunters, see big game taxidermy displays, book hunts, and buy gear, clothing, and jewelry. Presented by Grand Slam Club Ovis and Super Slam. All under one roof at the fabulous Grand Sierra Reno. Avoid the lines. Get discounted tickets to the show at slamquest.org.
The Sierra Safari Zoo is closed for the winter. As the largest zoo in Nevada with over 200 animals and over 40 different species, we need your help to continue feeding our animals through the long winter months. Visit us online at sierrasafarizoo.org and click on the donate button, or donate by phone or mail. Help support our mission, our passion, and love for these animals by donating to the Sierra Safari Zoo. More information at sierrasafarizoo.org.
Internet will match your down or your trade-in up to $2,000. We'll also give you a minimum of $2,000 for your clunker, push, pull, or drag. And we've got finance rates starting under 2%. Bring your cash or bring your trade and get it doubled. It's Double Down Days at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
On the next broadcast, Tix Sagerblum will be here, potentially running against Brian Sandoval for governor.